Today, Washington State plans to announce 8 hospitals that will serve as regional centers with higher levels of care for Ebola patients. Many small-town hospitals and clinics across the Northwest are working to prepare for Ebola after healthcare workers in Texas came down with the disease last month. Correspondent Anna King reports.
We're not far from Yakima, Washington. We're in a conference room at the PMH Medical Center in Prosser. Melissa Ferris doles out encouragement and clear instructions to 3 nurses.
Okay, so we're going to put the duct tape on. So the sole purpose of this is just to keep your glove from sliding around.
These nurses are practicing getting into and out of protective gear.
Okay, the final step is to put your face shield on. We don't want anything to be able to splash into your face.
Ferris is the head infection control nurse here. She says the moment she knew her Prosser staff needed to get ready was when 2 Texas healthcare workers were infected with Ebola last month. Ferris flipped off the news and kicked into action.
The next day we came in and sat down and said this is what we need to make sure we have on hand and available, and we need to make sure the staff know how to use them because it's something we weren't overly prepared for, not the way that we should have been. So it was eye-opening.
Getting all this gear on is laborious. Getting it all off is even trickier. You have to hold the suit zipper just right, drop equipment to the floor without bumping it against you, and most importantly, stay calm.
Sorry.
It's harder than it looks.
And it looks pretty darn hard. It's not that the nurses aren't taking the exercise seriously. Laughing relieves the tension. They're nervous.
It's a pretty complicated process as far as keeping the staff safe.
That's Connie Cole from Pullman's Hospital.
But like I said, we've been practicing that, and I believe that we could do that. Not everybody on the staff has gone through all the training, but we are in the process of doing that.
Other hospitals don't have the right style of protective equipment yet, or have more on order. In Pendleton, Oregon, Larry Blanc says smaller Northwest hospitals like St. Anthony might not be ready to care for Ebola patients long term, but they are self-reliant to handle crises. He cites a day a couple years back when a bus full of Korean tourists crashed on ice just outside of town.
We handled over 40 patients in our old facility, and not one patient died in our hospital. Many of them we had to transfer out.
Still, Washington State's government would be overloaded with just a few active Ebola cases. So says Washington's top infectious disease doctor, Scott Lindquist. He says more than 4 or 5 and things would break down. But what Lindquist really worries about are small urgent care clinics and doctor's offices, country or city. He says it only takes 1 mismanaged Ebola case to create havoc. Back in Prosser, Melissa Ferris says Ebola symptoms look just like the flu, so it's going to be a long, hard winter. My last question to this group of good-natured nurses is this. Are you really in for Ebola? Here's Prosser nurse Tina Glockner.
It's just something that we, as a healthcare provider, know that that's a risk that we take, but that's a career we choose.
My name is Tina Glockner, and I'm in.
My name is Melissa Ferris, and I'm in.
My name is Trish Reinmuth, and I'm in.
My name is Donna Tuning, and I'm in.
I'm Anna King in Prosser.
Ebola readiness isn't the only healthcare challenge in rural Washington. For many people living in rural Washington, it's hard just to find a primary care doctor. That's because there's a shortage of doctors in rural counties across the state. Both the University of Washington and Washington State University are trying to address the shortage. Joan Brewster is director of Grays Harbor County Public Health and Social Services. She says Grays Harbor County needs the help.
In the top U.S. performers for every primary care provider, you'd have a little over 1,000 people. In Grays Harbor, you'd have more than 2,200 people.
Rural counties nationwide have higher rates of health problems and premature death. Brewster said Grays Harbor County is the worst in the state.
When we look at the factors that contribute to our health, we look at different things, including our health behaviors. And in this case, we measure our use of tobacco, our diet and exercise patterns, how much we use alcohol, and how risky our behavior is in terms of sexual behavior. So when we look at those behaviors, we know that Grays Harbor is worse than the other counties in the state, really for every one of those. And we have many, many more people in poverty than you're going to find in other counties. So when you combine our poor health behaviors and our social and economic factors, you put them together and it's a pretty poor health picture. Overall, our life expectancy is more than 3 years less than for people statewide.
That was Joan Brewster. She's the director of Grays Harbor County Public Health and Social Services. Pat Justice looks at health outcomes and doctor shortages across the state. She's the rural health manager at the Washington State Department of Health. Pat told me, even though the Affordable Care Act is helping, health insurance alone won't fix the problem.
There's a really significant number of people who can't afford the deductibles for their plans. And so they're still going to be really reluctant to go get health care because they can't pay for it, even with a plan. A lot of people on the health exchange chose the bronze level, which is basically catastrophic coverage. So it helps people, you know, not lose their shirt entirely if they have an accident or a sudden illness. But it doesn't help them get preventive care as regularly as they could. Now, preventive care was part of the ACA, but people are worried about what's covered and won't be covered. So there's some things to understand and know. And people are just stretched pretty tight, and so they let things go.
So we've talked about access to health care in terms of having doctors available, in terms of having insurance, but we've also talked about the cost of health care. And there are plenty of people who just can't afford health care, even if they have some kind of health coverage. Are those the only factors that are contributing to poor health outcomes in areas in rural Washington?
Not at all. When I first started the Department of Health, a person had this sign at her desk and really took me. It was, 10 ways to have better health, and it started with have a healthy family that you grew up in, have the money to get a good education, have a steady job that pays you well enough. So, in other words, we know that a lot of factors influence health. And one of the biggest determinants of health is education level and the link to that to income level. It's really hard to stay healthy when you're, you know, fighting to cover the basics and living in an environment that may not have the setups for you to easily make healthy choices.
I'm talking with Pat Justice. She's the rural health manager at the Washington State Department of Health. Every year, the University of Wisconsin rates counties nationwide based on health outcomes. And when you look at Washington State, rural counties generally tend to fare worse than counties with cities, but not all rural health outcomes are exactly the same. For example, the southwest and northeast of the state have worse outcomes, but counties in the southeast are actually doing better.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we see this kind of disparity?
Well, again, I want to be really careful to not point to any one thing because it's multiple things. But I was looking at some data and just comparing one of those southeast counties to one of those southwest counties, and the southeast county had double the ratio of primary care physicians to the population. So if you're in a county that has a real shortage of care, and it when you want to make an appointment, it takes months and months to get in, that's definitely going to be a factor. We also just see opportunities for families to make a living as a huge difference in these rural counties. Some rural counties have just lost or never really had a very good employment base, and families that live there really struggle to make it economically. That plays into it. And there's real differences in rural areas in terms of kind of how robust they are.
If we look at data on health outcomes in rural areas, we can see that there are higher incidences of people smoking, higher incidences of obesity. Why do you think that's the case?
What we say when we look at the data is sicker, poorer, older in rural areas. And, the older part we get, our bodies, have a harder time with health as we age. But I really think it is the poorer part of that equation that connects to the sicker part of that equation. And, you know, it may sound simplistic, but it's just not easy to live in poverty or to live really close to the bone. It's really stressful. And so we know that there's a really strong mind-body connection, and having all that stress in your body is essentially hard on your health on top of all the kind of environmental risks. So it's, again, multi-causal, but the biggest ingredient from the data that correlates is income level, which connects to education level.
What else do you think can be done to improve health outcomes? And I ask because you've painted a picture that's pretty complex. There are a lot of reasons why people in rural areas might not be as healthy as people in cities.
There are prevention programs that are getting some traction in some areas where local organizations, their public health departments, social service agencies are trying new things and new ways of reaching out to people. And there's a philosophy that says health in all policies. So you can't just sort of have the health people thinking about this. You also need the people who are planning green space for the county and the people who are planning how kids are going to get to school and, you know, those who are planning economically for jobs in the area. All those things are really interventions that can impact health. You know, so if I had a simple answer, it would be create great jobs, you know, plenty of places for people to live active, plenty of places for people to get really, you know, fresh, healthy food, and support tobacco-free policies in all public places. And in a sense, the best thing we could do for people to help improve their health, or one of the best things, would be to give them opportunities for education that leads to employment that's going to give them a better chance.
Pat Justice is the Rural Health Manager at the Washington State Department of Health. We talked with her about the shortage of doctors in rural areas in Washington. We also talked with Joan Brewster, the Director of Grays Harbor County Public Health and Social Services.